say yes. We say yes. So come, Lord Jesus, in this time. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Good morning once again. We have been in a series for the last several weeks, even including a snow day, in talking about how our denominational family, the Brethren Church, how we understand God's Word. And it's been a little bit of a journey. I know we've stretched some of you a little bit in the ways in which we've encountered this, and we're going to stretch some of you a little bit more today, but don't get up yet, because I think you're really going to like how God comes alongside of you this morning, comes alongside of us this morning as we continue on this journey. But first, let's review what he has been up to. So the Brethren Church understands God's Word. Actually, what we would say maybe more importantly or more precisely, God's words, in three different ways. We understand his Word, what we would call the Bible, what we call the Scriptures, what most of us refer to as his Word. We refer to it as the outer word, the written word. And it's the most reliable source that we have. We can come back to it again and again, and we can bring our friends around it and come back to it again and again and look at the words in the same ways, in different ways. It's the most reliable source we have for a rule of life and faith, our life in faith. But it's only one part of how we understand God's Word. We also understand that God sends us an advocate, a teacher, a coach, an illustrator, a great TED Talk speaker, the Holy Spirit, we refer to as the inner word. And the inner word does all those things for us. It helps open our eyes. It helps pry open our hearts in the spaces that maybe we've got them shut up tight. That helps us understand more broadly what God wants to say to us through his outer word. And the miracle that we should all really take note of is that God himself wishes to communicate with us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to hear him. He wants us to respond to him. And so we understand God's word in these ways, that the outer word and the inner word testify. They bear witness to, they point at the living word, which is Jesus. And as we've explored that, we moved into the next way that we understand God's word, and that is that we are to be a people who are conformed to it. This idea of being conformed, which means allowing ourselves to be fashioned into the likeness of it. And when we say the likeness of it, actually what we're referring to is the likeness of him who is the living word, Jesus. So we kind of had this exploration of who Jesus is through a small section of scripture, and we explored what that looks like to become like him. And I think many of us were surprised that we are like him in a lot of ways already. And when we looked around the room, we saw that many of our friends here, we could see him in one another. And it's an incredibly powerful thing as we talk about being transformed. It's this idea of becoming a new kind of person, a new species of person. And that person is one that looks like Jesus. Sometimes we get a little queasy about the ideas of change and transformation. What do they want to do to me now? But in the words of Scripture and in the context of how we understand his word, that we are to become like Jesus, really it looks a lot like us getting put back to the way that we were originally created to be before sin busted up everything. So this journey that we've been on is deeper than just an academic pursuit of the words on the page, although, guys, that's good too. Understanding all of the authors and all the perspectives and the cultural implications of what they were writing and who they were writing to, it's super important, but it goes beyond that, right? Because the word is living and it's active. We can't just stick it in one category and one box and just leave it there. Academic pursuit or understanding, it's not enough just to understand the word, but the word is alive. And it's making us like Jesus the more we interact with it. This idea of being a people conformed to the word is a big part of who we are and what we believe as the Brethren Church. And then this idea of being a people, a community under the word, which we explored last week, under the influence of the word, interpreting the word together, applying the word together. The word itself is the context. Community itself is the context in which we read the word, in which we interpret the word, and in which we apply the word. And the miracle of all of that, God wants to communicate with us. God wants to put us back the way we were originally meant to be, and God draws us together as a people. He calls a people to himself, a community. And last week, we acknowledged a little bit how hard that is and some of the behaviors and some of the sort of the ways that we need to become more like Jesus to make community a little bit safer for one another. But it's this community that God desires to call us into, this family of God that he's making us into. For me, that influences, and I heard myself say it again today, it influences how I imagine us when we come together around this big table where Father is at the head. He's putting on a big feast for us. This is a party for him when his kids get together, right? And he has so many things he wants to tell us. We are his family. We are the people that he is drawing to himself. And just like any household, any family, we have our ups and downs, but there's a code, there's a way that he calls us to be together, and we explored that last week. This week, we're gonna tiptoe just a little bit further into what it looks like for us to encounter the word. We've talked about the academic pursuit. We've talked about how important it is for us to listen to the Holy Spirit in ourselves and in each other as we listen for what God is trying to say. And we're going to do that one more way today. We're going to explore it a little bit further, give you another tool in your toolkit, if you will, of how you live this life in the presence of God and in community with one another. So we're going to explore a practice today called Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina, Latin words that literally mean divine reading. But the whole idea of this is for you and I to explore and to have a chance to practice, once again, to add some tools to our kit in our relationship with him and our understanding of how to live with him, of how to hear him. I think beyond, this is me personally, beyond hearing you all sing together, which is part of the biggest joys of my life, the most incredible thing that I can be a part of in your life is helping you understand how to hear Father for yourselves. Because then, man, life gets fun. Then we can participate with the Father in the way that the Son does, only doing what he sees the Father doing, only speaking what he hears the Father say. And man, then we're on this track. Then we're in this environment where God is putting things back the way they're supposed to be, and we get to be a part of it. And it's less about, oh, you're bad and you need to change. And it's more about God is so good and his family is so amazing. And his mission to put all things back the way they're supposed to be is so incredibly fun and hard, but fun and worth it. To see people's spirits lifted up, to see people healed, to see relationships put back the way they are meant to be, all of this presupposes that we can hear the Father. So we're going to explore that today. So a lot of today is going to be exercise, right? Some experience together. And one of the things that I hate is being forced to do something that I'm uncomfortable with. So I'm promising you that you should just feel comfortable in not participating in any part of this that you don't want to. But I want you to stay, and I want you to hang out and just experience it as you can, even if it's just observing other people. Because there's something in this that's for you. As much as you want to take in, there's something here today for you. So this practice of Lectio Divina, there's four distinct steps to it. The first step is the reading, the lectio. And this idea of the reading is best expressed when you read the scripture out loud. So we've prepared a text for you today that you're going to hear us read out loud today four times. twice by me, twice by Shauna, if you want to make your way up here. The microphone's here on the front pew. And the whole idea, then, of the next step after the reading and during the reading is that you will be listening for words or phrases that might pop out to you. This is where we get to just kind of relax and ask God to amplify our imagination, to increase our imagination, to ask the Holy Spirit to begin to reveal things to us. And we're going to pray that together as before we read. So this first step of reading and listening for things that pop out, you'll have four times through in order to try to capture that. And then the next step is a reflection on what you heard or what jumped out. And this is this time where you're asking God, God, why did you make that jump out to me? What are you doing? What do you want to do that you made this pop out to me today? And the reality of it is it could be just about anything he might be trying to say to you. And the beauty of this experience is we're going to be engaged in the same text, but he will say different things to each one of us. And he'll give opportunities for each one of us to hear him in the way that we need to, in the way that he desires for us to experience him today. So we'll spend some time reflecting on that. Then because we're in this group, we're going to pause the Lectio for a moment, and we're going to ask if any of you are willing to share. Maybe not why God made it jump out to you, but what jumped out to you? And continue to engage in this sense that when God speaks to you over there, he might actually be saying something to you and to you he might use the same words, but it'll be different. And we get to have this broader experience of what Father is doing and saying when we share this in a group. So we're going to do that today. Then the last couple steps of it really are internal. So if you did have something jump out to you, if you were able to hear Father describe why he made that jump out to you, we'll spend some time responding to him. Maybe it's gratitude. Maybe it's confession. Maybe it's asking him to move into that space, whatever it is. Spend some time there. And then we're going to finish just with a period of rest, of just letting it sink in. Before we let all the words of worship, before we let anyone else's commotion kind of disturb what Jesus has done, we're just going to spend some time sitting still and resting. It's difficult to do. So once again, if this sounds weird to you, it's because it is. If you're not used to this, being still and being quiet before God, it's going to be uncomfortable. And I just ask you to trust the Spirit as a guide today, as this advocate and coach and teacher, and just go as far as you feel comfortable. I'm going to pray. And then Shauna is going to read. We're going to take a little trip through Psalm 23. Two things about it. It is written by an experienced shepherd. You may know this, you may have heard this before. The Lord is my shepherd is typically how it begins in different translations. It's pretty consistent. It is written by a man who grew up being a shepherd, maybe had no desire to be anything more than that, but God took him and did something different with his life. And David is expressing things to God in this text that are straight out of his experience. The Psalms are largely like reading somebody's journal, in a sense. And so as we encounter these words, we're encountering somebody's heartfelt response to God, a really deep, honest, intimate communication with the Father. The other reason why we chose this text is the last few weeks we've been exploring Matthew 11, 28, I believe through 30, where Jesus says to us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Come to me, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. And so this psalm sort of builds on that in some ways, and we hope to kind of carry that theme a little bit through our time this morning. So let me pray, and then Shauna will kick us off. Father, we put ourselves in your hands this morning. It is our intention to experience you today. God, we don't just want to think clearly about you and your word today. We want to feel clearly your word today. So God, as we engage this experience, we pray that your Holy Spirit would even now begin to move and to swell, you know, up inside of us, in our hearts, pushing on the things that are distracting us, pushing even on the aspects of our previous understanding of this text. Push it out so that we can hear what it is you desire for us today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life.
God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I am not afraid. When you walk at my side, your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life.
God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life.
Before I read this one final time, just be listening carefully for any word or phrase that might jump out to you. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. So now take these moments to really capture that word or phrase that God may have brought out to you, may have caused to leap off the page for you. Spend some time considering it. In the next few moments, ask God why he made that word, that phrase, jump off the page. As you continue to reflect here, as you feel led, if a word or a phrase jumped out to you, just feel free to call it out. Shepherd. Chases, love chases. That was mine too, chase. Send. Direction. True to your word. What was this? I'm not afraid when you walk by my side. Somebody over here. I don't need a thing. Secure. Catch my breath. Keep reflecting on why God may have brought that out to you. And as you do that, I offer just this sense of who this man David is and what might have been going on in him, what his experiences have been up to this point, what his encounters with God may have been to bring him to write these words. And if we were to take the time for all of you that had something jump off the page and ask you why do you think God brought that to your attention, we would learn something about your life, about your experiences, about what God is up to in you. And if we piled all of those together into a journal or into a new psalm, right, that we write together with our experience, we would learn what God is up to in us. And there is power in this, hearing God for ourselves and hearing God for each other. Jeremy, I'm going to ask you to come on up. Jeremy is going to play a little bit of music here behind us just to help drown out some of the noise that might still be spinning around us. I'm going to ask you now to respond to God, and this is totally inward, right? This is not anything that you share with the rest of us. But take these next few moments to respond to him. Maybe continue to ask him why did he make that leap out to you if you haven't heard him yet. But when you do, if you do, or even if it's just for this experience, respond to him. There's maybe some praise when you hear that God lets you catch your breath. What did it mean to you? When you hear that he's true to his word, that you don't need a thing, what does it do in you? Is there a moment of confession that needs to be had? Is there a moment of praise, an expression of gratitude and thanksgiving? Is there a surrender? So as Jeremy begins to pray, to play, you continue to pray and encounter God in this way. What kind of response? What kind of response is fitting for what you've experienced so far this morning? Step of this this prayer tool, this way of approaching Scripture, is about resting in the moment that you had with the Father. It's about resting in the understanding that He brought to you when we were reading. It's about resting in the work that you and He have done together in your response. We're going to continue to play some music. Continue to sit in what God is doing with you.